It's a matter of importance to me that you be lucid and aware of what you're able to be. Since I was able to see the lack of limits, I've been infinite. And this is indiscriminate. Isn't narcissistic. Arson isn't always meant to be destructive. It's an art form. This is my attempt to start the fire that makes you art more. And logic less, cause logic since the dollar has been off of it. I'm offering a sentence that could bring you back to sanity. Empathic but emphatically, I plan to see you mastering the art of your existence so that everyone can benefit. Then on and on and fractally, it blossoms into everything. And mindfully, we intervene, i.e. create reality. I used to hate this word, but now I know its definition. And I've learned to trust my family. I see all 7 billion. So I deem it time to DMT you all with my opinion. And I pray to my creators that just one of you will listen. Cause the light and divine truth was always inside you. I'm here to remind you that you are not what confines you. You've traveled through time to arrive at this line. And now you are in a vessel designed to invent and define truth. Illusion divides you, but you are the limitless vine through which everything vibes through. And I'm here to remind you that you are the light and divine truth. It's always inside you. I'm here to remind you that you are not what confines you. You traveled through time to arrive at this line. And now you are in a vessel designed to invent and define truth. Illusion divides you, but you are the limitless vine through which everything vibes through. And I'm here to remind you that you are. I am the Illuminati of my own reality. I am not afraid of those who benefit from apathy. I am not a slave to any entity or anything. My mission as a cell is reconnecting us with everything. Inevitably, everything is bound to evolve, because that's the nature of the fractal that we're also involved with. Revolving around a nucleus that nuclearly powers us, but I've comprised a theory that suggests we really power it. Power is the act of understanding what you're standing on. This is not the planet I was born from, though the Mastodon is part of me. I'm partially a particle lost. Time and space, but I'll remember when they're blasting me off. I may never be, but I control my darkness just enough to make a friend of it. Addendumless, my Bible is remembering the ultimate. Then every channeled verse is holy text because we come from it. And every son and daughter is my bleeding hearted counterpart. So I will find the others and remind them that we have a heart. You're part of God whenever you remember, and I'm sure now, endeavoring forever on the quest of showing more how the light and divine truth was always inside you. I'm here to remind you that you are not what confines you. You traveled through time to arrive at this line, and now you are in a vessel designed to invent and define truth. Illusion divides you, but you are the limitless vine through which everything vibes through. I need only remind you that you are the light and divine truth. It's always inside you. I'm here to remind you that you are not what confines you. You traveled through time to arrive at this line, and now you are in a vessel designed to invent and define truth. Illusion divides you, but you are the limitless vine through which everything vibes through. And I'm here to remind you that you are God. I'm here to remind you that you are the light and divine truth. It's always inside you. And I'm here to remind you that you are not what confines you. You traveled through time to arrive at this line, and now you are in a vessel designed to invent and define truth. I need only remind you that you are God. I'm here to remind you that you are God. I'm only here to remind you that you are
a magical turtle.
Magical turtles?
Hello and welcome to the Dark City Radio. Tonight you're listening to the new Terry and Sarah show, which is obviously me, Sarah, and also Terry. Do you want to introduce yourself, Terry? Terry works with herbs and...
It's all right, I've finally managed to work it out.
Yeah, we're going to this.
You're going to have to forgive me. This mute button and on and off thing may cause some issues. My name's Terry, and I'm a herbalist, and I work from home in a small village in East Sussex, and I have a small shed in my garden where I see my patients. I make most of my own herbal medicine with herbs that I grow myself, and life is good.
Yeah, our show is about, it's mainly just conversations that we, me and Terry, are going to have. We're also going to bring other people in over the weeks, and we're going to look at how different ways of taking responsibility for ourselves and our health, in what ways we can be make a better, more healthy individuals, therefore make a more healthy environment and communities for us all to live in. But as this obviously starts with the individual, so this is what we're looking at in our shows. And over the weeks, it's going to evolve into different, from looking at different alternative therapies, different alternative techniques, very old techniques, a lot of these things are really ancient, like herbs are ancient, aren't they? So it's just a lot of old techniques. And we're just going to look at how people can use these and others and just take more responsibility for themselves. For the first week, we're going to mainly focus on Terry and what she does, introduce her herbs and her website and everything like that, aren't we today, Terry?
We can, indeed we can. I mean, one of the things that Sarah and I, we first sort of started talking about, which really, you know, was the real interesting thing for me, was about what inspires us as healers. And that's one of the things I would, you know, I'd like to get out of this this process is I've found it, when I was thinking about it, really difficult to kind of pin this down. And I've got ideas of things that have inspired me, but they just seem rather narrow. And it is something I think that that I'm quite interested in talking about with people. How are we inspired into good health? Whether it's, you know, the things that we actually do, the practical things that we do around keeping our physical body healthy, or our emotional body, our energetic body. You know, all of this for me is part of, you know, Sarah was just saying, how we take responsibility for ourselves, but also by doing that, how we do feedback into our communities and, you know, to this world, this beautiful world, you know, this fantastic planet that we're part of. Yeah, so that's kind of where I am with this. I'm, you know, happy to talk about how I kind of came to herbs and what herbs mean to me. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Sarah?
Yeah, I was just about to talk then. Yeah, because that's what one of the things that we wanted to do in our radio show was, and one of the questions that I actually put up onto the Dark City page was, what inspires people to get up in the morning and what inspires you to do the things that you do in life, you know, because a lot of people, they can't find inspiration to get up, even though they do, but people really struggle with finding things to inspire them in their day-to-day life and find it hard to cling on to their dreams and live their dreams and yeah, to follow their goals and their aims and their ambitions. They just see blocks in the way all the time. And so this is part of what we want to be able to talk about in this show, you know, like what sort of things inspires me. And I know sometimes it might just be something really simple. I might be feeling set down and sorry for myself. And then all of a sudden I might look up and see a beautiful sunset or just simple little things that remind me of the beauty that's still out there in the world. That's one of the things that I find really inspiring, that no matter how hard a time I feel like I'm going through, there's always so much beauty out there. And I think becoming more aware of what is beautiful and different things are beautiful to different people, I really find that inspiring myself personally.
I do think it's how we engage with things. I think sometimes if you're feeling low, it's really difficult to see the beauty in things. And sometimes sort of strategies and things, just so that we know that we have got a route in when we, you know, when we're not feeling sort of inspired, when we're not feeling safe. I mean, I could kick off because I was really quite scared doing this because I've not really done anything like this before. In fact, I haven't done anything like this before, and I was feeling really sort of quite anxious. And, you know, wondering about all these little things that I've got to press and the muting, and it just was a bit overwhelming. And I suddenly just sort of saw myself where I'm sitting, and I'm sitting at the moment in my still room, and herbalist still rooms are where we make our the herbs that we, you know, and the treatments that we use to heal people. And I just started sort of looking around and just tried to find myself in this place. And I was just slowly picking out all the books that I refer to, that I come back to again and again, which are like friends. And, you know, and I looked at the herbs, which I'm thinking, oh, I really should get over there and dust some of those. I've got lots of herbs, dried herbs in jars for when I'm treating people who, you know, who prefer not to use alcoholic tinctures, who can't use them. Some people can't use them. And then I look to the left, and I'm just totally reminded of so much of what I do, because there's hundreds of 2.5 liter dark bottles which have all got the names of herbs on them, and they've all got sort of little signs on them which tell me, you know, when I made them, you know, what they are, what sort of percentage of alcohol they are. And I can literally look through all of these bottles as I just, you know, glance over them, and I can see myself, you know, with the seed. I can see myself planting that seed. I can see myself sort of harvesting it. I know where it went in the nursery that I have. I know, you know, I can remember whether it was a difficult year for that plant, and I can, you know, then remember the harvest, the, you know, the making the medicine, the joy of tasting it, the different things that come through every year just from the same plant, depending on how it's, you know, the environment that it's grown in. And then I can picture patients of mine or friends of mine or family who have used these herbs, and I've made mixes out of them. And, you know, the healing, the comfort that they have sort of got from this, and the healing and comfort that I get from the process. So just talking about this and focusing on that has actually calmed me down quite a lot. And the, you know, the whole link with this and then the patients I work with, you know, some of the work that I've done with them, it's really inspired me. It's inspired me to make huge changes and to face challenges that I never thought that I would, things that I have been really scared of trying and scared of doing, because, you know, watching them and listening to them and talking to them about the, you know, the changes or the shifts that, you know, that they're going through, or that they're having to face as part of their sort of path back to well-being. It just, you know, it just, you know, the courage sometimes is almost, you know, it just takes my breath away. And that has inspired me to do things that that I have sometimes felt I really wouldn't be able to do, that I didn't have the strength. But, so that's rambling on a bit. Sorry, Sarah, over to
you.
No,
that's fine.
I got carried away.
That's okay. Well, it's cool. It was interesting what you were saying, and it's good for everyone to understand where you're coming from, aren't they, and to see where you are coming from. But we met about 4 years ago now, didn't we?
Gosh, was it only? It seems to me, it just seems so much longer than that.
It must have been about 2009, and we did a course together, didn't we? Naturopathy. I can never say it right, but I was doing naturopathy. And herb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it you was doing herbs and
biomedicine?
Biomedicine. Yeah, I left after the first year, and you
carried on for a little while longer, probably about another year on that course.
And we got to know each other quite well, though, didn't we? Because I decided to come and help you, because you've got this plot of land, haven't you? In East Sussex, with a really big polytunnel on there, and that's where you grow your own herbs, don't you? So you don't only just prescribe herbs, you actually grow your own herbs, like you were saying, so you know exactly where they come from, and like you were saying, you know exactly what the weather was like, what sort of year they had, and you really are a very hands-on herbalist, and it was a great experience for me to actually come up and help and dig, and because I've always been so passionate about herbs and loved them, and it's always been something to me that's never died. You know, sometimes you have these fads and you're into something for a little while, and then you don't think about it again, but it's obviously been something that's been in my life for many, many years, and been part of it, like teas, tinctures. You know, I've always liked looking at natural ways rather than putting chemicals on my skin. All my beauty products are natural. I don't use any chemical shampoos or deodorants, because they contain a lot of toxins which bombard your immune system, really, don't they? So that's how we met, isn't it? Before I end up going down a rabbit hole, that's how we met, isn't it?
But you know what? You were just fantastic. And occasionally people do come along and help me. But you were just one of the best. I can remember how just damn good you are with a shovel and a fork and digging those beds. And, you know, where I'm gardening is brick, red brick clay. And what we were doing was a lot of these beds had been covered over with plastic and things for many, many years, and they'd become compacted, and Sarah, you just got stuck right in, and there were no worms or anything. Can you remember that there were no worms? It was just the most extraordinary.
I absolutely love digging. I love getting my hands right into the soil as well. So getting my hands right into the soil and pulling out all the roots from all the weeds and everything. I just love it. You know, it's a great passion of mine, really. So we decided that we was mainly going to be talking about Terry today because of her herbs. And so what did originally inspire you, do you think, Terry, to actually become a herbalist and do what you are doing now? I know with us doing this radio show, it was quite spontaneous, really.
Yeah.
Because my friend started doing a radio show, a radio station, and I started helping out, and I was greatly inspired by a lot of the shows and the people coming on and saying their stuff and spreading their knowledge and sharing what they've learned in life. And, you know, in a lot of the truth movements and people, I've never even really heard of any of that before, really, before I started doing Dark City Radio. And so it's just really nice to be able to be part of everyone's radio station rather than just a radio station that you just listen to. It's a radio station that anyone can be involved in. And so I decided that I thought you would make a good person, didn't I, to actually to come onto a show and interview. And then you said, oh, but I want you to talk to me. And that's how we ended up doing the Terry and Sarah show, wasn't it, basically?
If anyone had told me a month ago that I would be doing this, I would have just said, you're joking. You're absolutely joking. A person who's been trying to get hold of me just really to arrange for us to meet up and talk about, you know, her path to well-being, said that I probably, you know, had the smallest electronic footprint that she'd ever seen in her life. She just, you know, she just couldn't find me. And then almost the day after, another person had phoned up and said that they just, you know, that they had an impossible time even finding, you know, a phone number. So to be doing something like this is really quite a break from the sort of world that I live in. I mean, I don't even normally Skype. I couldn't get the hang of not talking over somebody else, and yes, it was wonderful, really. I think to be asked, because I think if anyone else had asked me, I probably would have just said, "Oh no, I don't think so." But you know, I think you kind of inspired me when you were talking about it, Sarah. To just try and, you know, to put something like this out there is is important, and also it is an extension of the sort of work that, well, sort of what we're trying to do in this group of independent herbalists that I belong to.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, is like the herbarium, your website. We're going to put links about Terry's website, which she's part of. It's a blog, isn't it, Terry?
It's a blog, and I'm such a small part of the work that's been done on this blog. In terms of, you know, this group of people who are kind of contributing to it, you know, I'm tiny. I'm a kind of, you know, Johnny come lately. These are people who are, you know, who are so knowledgeable and so committed to developing herbal medicine, but not in a way that, you know, we are sort of fixated on this current sort of modern medical sort of model, but recognizing that it needs to get, you know, that it needs to get real again, that we need to make sure that we kind of, you know, we integrate, you know, this old wisdom with new wisdom, but at the same time that we make it really accessible so that everybody out there can utilize it, that it doesn't become a, you know, just for herbalists, the people who have that label herbalist to, you know, to use. It doesn't become just our area of expertise, but that it's in fact kind of integrated back into a lot of people's lives, because it is important that it doesn't just become about some people who have this knowledge and then, you know, and then share it or not. It has to be. It has to be out there. And this blog that we have, it contains information so that people, you know, can make their own medicine and, you know, do know what's happening politically in herbalism and how it's, you know.
Yeah, because that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why I believed it was set up, wasn't it? Because of the regulations that are coming into force around herbalism, the blog, the herbarium, is actually a reference for people to look to in future years, now and in future years, of what techniques have been used and what herbs are used for what.
There's a lot
of way
stuff,
of preserving it, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, there are books that go back, you know, thousands of years, but this is about trying to make it just current. So it's usually quite easy to access information on what a herb might do, but for somebody then to be able to get hold of this medicine in the future, you know, if everything goes the way, you know, regulation has been kind of proposed, it's going to be very difficult. People will get hold of herbs by going to a herbalist, and it will be a herbalist who's been trained in a certain sort of way and only really able to use, you know, herbs that that are allowed to be used. For some people the thought of it being so carefully sort of regulated, it's going to, you know, some people will feel safe by that. They'll feel safe to think that it's part of the system and that, you know, that herbs will only have been, you know, will only be prescribed if they've been sort of carefully researched in line with the current sort of medical model. And that will draw them to herbs. But and that's fine if it does draw people to herbs, but what it does do is exclude an awful lot of herbalists who want to prescribe in a certain way, you know, people that want to use herbs in their own way. And part of what we're trying to do, if you get the information out there so that people really can do it themselves, then you circumvent that. And it's important for people to be aware that we're, you know, that we are in a situation, although I have to say things have kind of gone a bit quiet. One tends to think that this current, government has got enough to keep itself busy without trying to regulate a small amount of herbalists.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Out of all the rubbish that's going on. It's probably I think, helping. But it's it's easy to get bogged down in all the different legislation and twists and turns. And some very knowledgeable independent herbalists have written about it and have given their sort of their take on it, and it's on the herbarium. So if someone's interested, I would urge them to read it. We try to make things, person friendly. We try not to have lots of kind of jargon in there, although there is, lots of jargon available, particularly with sort of legislation. But, some people in this group have tried very, very hard to make this kind of digestible so that everybody can get an idea of what's happening.
And that's obviously a massive step in taking responsibility for yourself and taking responsibility for your own health, isn't it? To actually have a look on a site like the Herbarium, realize that you've got something wrong. I'm not quite sure, just anything. And then looking up the herbs, looking up the tinctures, how to make it, or even if you just want to make elderflower champagne, you've got recipes for that on there as well, haven't you? Covers so much of what you can do with herbs. It's got shampoos, everything on it. It's absolutely amazing site and definitely well worth looking at.
That's the wonderful Carol and Natalie who've done a lot of that. And the other thing is that it's all stuff that we have done. We've not picked this up from, we've used that. We've made herbs in this way. We use, nothing goes into this which we haven't experienced ourselves. We're very kind of clear about that. And we are trying to work out ways to work in a way whereby we're taking account of the kind of, not just what's happening in our own little area, but that the things that we do have an impact elsewhere. Herbs which are being used at the moment, some fantastic Chinese herbs. This is just, we're dealing with Western herbal medicine. And a lot of that is about rediscovering our herbs and working with them, because a lot of that knowledge has been forgotten. And rather than using herbs, from far away, which then have got, they've got air miles and things like that, it's about saying, what do we have near us? Because who knows what's going to happen in the future? So, and, we may be thinking, this is it. Sorry, darling.
That sort of comes under the responsibility bit as well, isn't it? Because if you're actually using Western herbs, you're actually keeping our heritage alive. You're actually not using all those air miles, and people are actually can grow them in their own environment, living in the Western Hemisphere. Is it the Western Hemisphere? Yeah, living in the West. I mean, we're in the North.
The Northern Hemisphere.
But so it is. You can definitely start taking a lot more responsibility for yourself and your health by just growing herbs which are natural to your environment. And we was talking about this as well earlier on today, wasn't we? About herbs which are in season and grown in your natural environment actually work better for you than herbs which are flown in from across the other side of the world. Yeah. They've grown up in the same environmental areas what you have, the same air and same pollutions and same water.
I mean, it may be that what we do, we're not saying that, the herbs which, the herbs themselves are, are not sort of vital, but it's, because they have, they have traveled. But it is very much about if we're going to use herbs from other, well, I suppose like Ayurvedic herbs, we should try and grow them ourselves. We should try and let them see, how they are you know, how they grow, what their energetics are when they're here with us. And, you know, these are usually, you know, powerful, strong, beautiful herbs, you know, the most wonderful healing herbs. And I think that they can only really be enhanced by, you know, mm-hmm. by growing, being grown by ourselves and yeah. growing around us in our environment.
I totally agree with you, because as well, a lot of these wild flowers that you get from other countries, like wild thyme, which is used a lot in culinary, mm-hmm. they're actually ripping sides of mountains apart and things to actually get. And somebody said to me the other day that arnica, wild arnica, is on the verge of extinction. You know, so this is about taking responsibility for your environment by growing your own herbs, and therefore it's not having an impact on the environment at the same time, and not taking it out of the wild where it is needed by the ecosystem yeah. for the bees, the birds, and whatever other animals that live in that particular environment. You're taking it away from them, and that's not really necessarily a good thing, because a lot of shampoos and things like that are just got a lot of wild herbs in them.
Yeah,
and
it just
goes down the plug hole, really. So
just going to say, you know, on that whole thing about using wildcrafted herbs, there's information. There is information, if people do want to do it, to actually say how you do it. You know that we don't. You know, irrespective of the local kind of environment, just go in there and pull herbs out because we need them as part of our healing process. It's, you know, it's a very, or it should be something that we're very, very aware of, that these plants, they do live in their communities, and we can strip those communities. We can really unbalance, you know, how the plants and how the energetics are kind of synergizing together. And lots of herbs, like hydrastis, there are a lot of herbs which have been sort of wildcrafted almost to extinction. And one of the things that we're doing is that we're trying to find the alternatives. And this goes back again to the old knowledge. And one of the things that we did chat briefly about was that, you know, for us, you know, for those of us who you know, get to talk to older people, I've spent a long time trying to collect information on sort of local herbs and how people have used them. And it's astonishing, even talking to, you know, people who are, you know, who are, you know, much older than me, that they've kind of, it's skipped a generation, whereas previously we used to have lots of knowledge passed down and people using herbs as part of their day-to-day kind of well-being, and a lot of that in a, you know, in a proactive way, not just a reactive way. A lot of the way that we have you know, we eat our, you know, we eat vegetables and various things, you know, various foods. We used to eat food within the rhythm of the seasons, because we couldn't just go along to a supermarket and pluck whatever we fancy, you know, off the shelf. So we ate things which were sort of appropriate to the season that we were living in. And these plants and these herbs and these vegetables, or, you know, whatever we were nourishing ourselves with, were right for that particular time, and in fact helped to build the body and, you know, and protect it. All the berries and things that we take off the bushes in, you know, in the autumn are hugely antioxidant. They're antiviral. These are the things that protect us against, you know, these you know, terrible winter you know, the flus and the colds and the viruses. You know, they're fantastic things, but instead, you know, a lot of us are, you know, are just not grounded in that, and we're, you know, nibbling salads and things.
Wine, you can make wine.
lovely wines
with medicinal, you know, herbs. And that's one of the ways that they used to preserve the herbs, isn't there? And there were certain days of the year as well that you was meant to go out and collect the sap off trees, and certain days you're supposed to do things like that on, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And a lot of this has been lost.
A lot of it's been lost. And I do think that, that you know, it's you know, this the grand design of the NHS was that, you know, people who didn't have money should never be excluded from, you know, from healthcare. But at the same time, I think what it's assisted in doing is making people quite dependent rather than interdependent. So we've I think a lot of the herbal knowledge on how people just used to, you know, draw things in to their day-to-day life is kind of missing. So we're going back to the old books and yeah, you know, pulling this information out, but then we're having to trial it. And it's the same with people getting real about their, you know, about their food, trying to live in the rhythm, trying to remain grounded to the seasons.
Yeah, well, it's so important. It's so important to remain grounded in all everyday life. It comes up time and time and time and time again, doesn't it? And with the NHS as well, with the coming of the NHS when that first came in, it's also got people and doctors in a lot of ways. It's got people to just totally lose all responsibility for their own health. It's amazing when you do actually talk to some people who are ill. You say, oh, well, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm not really sure. I've been to the doctors and they've given me these tablets. And it's like, well, what are those tablets? Oh, I don't know. Here you go. Well, what are they meant to do? I don't know. The doctor said they'll just take these for a month and I should be all right. And it's just like, wow. You know, you know, that's not taking responsibility at all. And part of getting better is to actually take steps to make yourself better on lots of different levels and to take responsibility. You know, you need to know what's wrong with you. You need to know what's caused it. You need to know how to deal with it. And you need to know the best way forward. And you're not going to know this by just going to somebody and sitting opposite them for 10 minutes while they write a script out of whatever.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's, you know, either the doctor or the patient is happy with that as a relationship, is it?
It
just, you know, it can't work like that. And I think as well that people should, you know, people when they take responsibility for their health, they do make the decision whether or not they want to use complementary medicine, alternative medicine, conventional medicine, you know, how they mix these in. As long as they're, some people just say, no, that's it. No conventional medicine for me.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, I mean, from, you know, the people that I see, will weave it in. But so much of their kind of approach to well-being is about shifting from the reactive to from the reactive approach, which is, you know, I've got a set of symptoms, I have to deal with them, to being really proactive. And that is about, you know, how you take care of yourself, how you keep yourself grounded, how you keep yourself emotionally well, physically well. And then when they get to the point which people will of having viruses or illnesses or, you know, conditions, can then, you know, they're in a better place, a better space to actually think about how they want to manage their path back to well-being. You know, what combination of of support they need, and again, not to have to do it alone as well, having good friends around you, people that you can trust, these are all the kind of things which seem to our healthcare system, and this, you know, includes lots of, you know, the different types of support that are on offer in the complementary world, tend not to kind of bond together and work together. We all work in quite an isolated way. And, that makes things more difficult. Doctors have got their challenges with regard to how they can work and the difficulties they have working with their patients. But we as well, you know, we as well do. there's not, you know, there's not a goodie or a baddie in this in terms of the people who provide the service. Some of the suppliers of various things, pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, I think, yes, we can question.
Well, yeah, there's you can question things like that with every trade. And
yeah,
a lot of pharmaceutical companies are set up purely for profit, aren't they, to push their product. And that's where one of the things where modern medicine does actually go wrong. It's based on, some of it's based on profit. And
yeah,
that's where you can't have a fair and things shouldn't be based on profit. It should be based on whether they work, really, shouldn't they, when it comes to health?
It should,
as
simple
as that. There's no other way around it, really. I don't quite get it, really. But obviously, I do get it. People want to make money and feed their egos. And obviously, they as people, aren't grounded and not facing up to their responsibilities of taking responsibility for themselves and their health, because if they were, then they wouldn't be coming from such a greedy place. Is that a right word?
Yeah, well,
no, they'd be pushing things that worked, not just because they want to make money out of their product. It's just, yeah. And when money starts coming into health in such a dramatic way, it does corrupt it, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah.
It means that people aren't coming from the right place. Whenever I come to try and give advice to somebody on their health or anything like that, well, I come from a pure place, as pure as I possibly can. I try and be as grounded as I possibly can and connected to the source, as I call it, as I possibly can, and give the best advice that I can possibly can, or guide people to look in certain areas the best that I can. And it's not about money. It's not about ego. It's about getting people better, because while there's sick people and people suffering in this world, none of us are ever going to be 100%, are they, while our brothers and sisters are dying around us?
Yeah.
No, and we all need to get better to be able to feel better.
That's true. How do you ground yourself, Sarah?
It is so funny. I was going to ask you exactly the same question. Well, what I do really is, when I ground myself, is I'll do something like maybe drink some water. I think about my feet, really, because I do energetic work. I think about, and I'm aware of energies, I think about my feet. And I think about focusing and making sure that I can feel them tingling and feel the energy coming out of my feet and coming through my head, from the source all the way down through all my chakras, and then all the way down through my feet and into the center of the crystalline center of Mother Earth. And that's how I ground myself. I try and make it as quick and easy as I possibly can, and not to have too much on it. And then when I'm out and about as well, like if I'm walking the dogs, I'll acknowledge where I am, I'll acknowledge the environment around me, and really I just think of my feet. And that's what I say to people when I see they're not grounded. I go, think of your feet, feel the energy coming out, because that's when you know that you're connected, because you can feel the energy coming out of your feet. And if you can't, well, then you're not. And but I know, I'm fully aware that not everyone can feel energies, but a good way of actually getting to feel energies is just by bouncing your hands as if you're going to clap, or you've got a balloon in between them, and just bouncing them gently, and then you'll just feel the air getting more and more dense in between your hands. And that's basically the energy that we work with, you know, that's energy. What about you, Terry? What do you do?
I'm busy bouncing my hands as we talk. Yeah, that's really great. I'm gonna go and show my son how to do that. It's
how to do what?
Wonderful. How to do that bouncing of the hands you were just talking about?
Yeah, like pretending you've got a balloon. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. When he was younger, he really didn't like to be. If he got very distressed when he was a very little lad, he didn't like to be touched. He used to be quite tactile, defensive. And that's, you know, I used to, you know, I couldn't sort of hug him or soothe him. So I just used to sort of just run my hands over him over his face without touching him. And that I think must be part of the same principle.
Well, it's stroking his aura, isn't it?
Yeah, and it certainly worked.
And what one of the techniques that I learned when I was doing crystal work was that to relax somebody when you get them, when they lie down, is you can actually just stroke their aura, but you do it very slowly, and then that way it does actually help them to relax.
No, well, what I do is actually not that different to what you do. I usually, first thing in the morning, I have to take the dogs out, the greyhounds, and I get onto the field out the back, and I just face towards the sun, or where the sun would normally be if there was the sun out, which there hasn't been much of at the moment.
No.
And I just do that that sort of visualization. I just stand there, and it's only for quite a short period of time, because I'm not a great one for sort of meditation or yoga. It's one of the things I have to work really hard at to do. So I kind of want something that's quick and very effective. And I stand there and I feel my feet, and I feel my feet going now down into, you know, down, big roots like an oak tree going down into the center of the earth and curling around that, you know, that crystal, that iron center, and holding on, really, really holding on. And then I envisage my arms going up, and depending on how many leads I've got or anything like that, I may even raise them, you know, up into the sky. And I just, you know, say to myself, I am of the earth, and I am of the sky, the stars, the universe, and beyond. And I am of the mother. And then I envisage myself wearing a cloak, you know, something usually of the most, you know, the most beautiful colors and the texture and, you know, the warmth, something like a silk velvet, something that really is holding and heavy and warm at the same time, really light. And then I just, yes, give my thanks and move on for the day. It really is wonderful.
Something you've just said then is just reminded me of something I left out, and it is that gratitude, isn't it? That gratitude to be on the earth at this particular time, and that gratitude to have life, and that gratitude to just be part of everything, really, you know, and to really feel that gratitude. Sometimes, like when you're down, like we was talking about being down, it's hard to see things that you can be grateful for, but just being alive is gives you the opportunity to be able to change your situations. If you're not 100% happy, you need to just take steps each day to make yourself happy. And one of the best things that you can do is to just look around you and actually think of all the things that you have got to be grateful for. And they might just start out as simple little things like your dog, somewhere to live, the fact that you're alive. Because not everyone has somewhere to live, do they? Or your friends. Or, you know, just...
Yeah. Good food.
Little things, yeah. We was going to ask people if they wanted to join in. I don't know if anyone else wants to say anything or contribute in any way to the show. We've got 5 minutes left. Does anyone else want to say anything? No? All right, then.
We're probably talking to each other, but you know what? I love it. I don't mind at all. I just love to just spend lots of time talking to you, Sarah.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
It's not
it?
A problem.
No,
it's not a problem.
So we haven't got very long left, though, Terry. So do you want to sum up, or what would you think would? Well, we should sum up, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, you start. I'm not quite sure.
Well, well, the question it started out to be, wasn't it, to take responsibility and to inspire yourself, and the first and basic thing that necessary is to ground yourself, is to get as grounded as you possibly can. Never make decisions about what you're going to do next when you're angry, when you're sad, or when you're depressed. Trying to get yourself into a space, somewhere where you feel safe, somewhere where you feel comfortable, somewhere where you feel happy, and get yourself grounded and look around and look at all the things that you have got in your life to be grateful about, and be grateful, say thank you. Thank you to the universe, or whatever else you want to, however you want to say thank you. And
got to shut down research things and actually go out and take a look yourself at the things that you can do to make yourself better.
Yeah. You know what? You started breaking down there, and so I wasn't quite sure what you said towards the end. But I was thinking that one of the things that is really that kind of does it for me is just surrounding myself, if you can. And I've been very lucky; I have been able to, with people who are generous with their time and their knowledge, who are gracious and humorous, and they're the sort of people who really do inspire and challenge me to be the best that I can be. And that is, I am very fortunate that I have got, these people around me. So that's my bit.
Yeah. And everyone, you should really have a look at the blog website, The Herbarium, because it is full of so many amazing recipes of just so much amazing information. It's got loads of information on it, hasn't it?
And you can ask for it's interactive, so if people have got questions about about anything, we answer them, and we're always interested in sharing, really, and hearing from people. We love hearing from people.
Yeah, that this radio station has been set up so everyone can have a platform. So we're very interested in hearing from people who have recovered from illnesses or have got over depression, or we want to know your story about what has inspired you in your life and what does inspire you on your daily life to get up or, to do the things that you do. Or like Terry's is inspired by her herbs. I've been inspired by my energy work. We want to know what makes you tick and do the things you do.
Yeah. Come and speak to us.
Yeah. And evolve. We want this radio show to evolve with everyone's knowledge. And we just want it to just gather up as much information as we possibly can so that we can all support each other. Well, we can all tell each other what's worked for us. Is what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for the other, but it's good to share that knowledge and keep the knowledge alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you, Sarah, for inviting me to do this with you. I really enjoyed it.
I have as well. Thank you, Terry, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Dark City, for giving us this platform to be able to express what we want to be able to express. It's absolutely amazing. And we hope you all enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's see how this one evolves.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
we haven't decided what we're going to be talking about next week yet. We're very spontaneous, aren't we, Terry?
We're very spontaneous.
Okay, thank you all for listening. It's been great.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye.